I didn't enjoy school. I very much fall into the creative over academic, if we're going to choose one over the other, and felt like school was just not made for me. So I run a online marketing community called Pretty Little Marketer. Now that is archived. I live my dream, the dream that I didn't know I had, but I'm very, very, very grateful for. It was a whirlwind, and I still feel like I have no idea what's going on. Just a messy 23-year-old who loved pink, loved emojis, loved trinkets, didn't know what she was doing, talking about marketing and sharing literally every thought that came in to my head. Like, just be you, like, have fun. Who cares what other people think or say? How many people out there are like genuinely willing to help because they have been where you are? What do you feel? What are you excited to share? I think that's what matters most.
Lovely, thank you for that. I'll definitely take that on with me as I hopefully break into the industry.
I'll see you in there.
Sophie Miller, wow. That was quite the conversation.
She was so amazing. She was so supportive and encouraging for starting your own journey. It was so inspiring.
Yeah, it just feels like you can do anything chatting to Sophie.
Like, I feel like I'm ready to go and she's there to support and she is rooting for you. It's absolutely amazing.
And so many tools as well. So I think anyone interested in starting a business as a content creator or starting a community, there are so many tips in this episode for you. So you're going to love it.
Hi, I'm Sophie and I'm taking you behind the future.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Future. And I have a fantastic co-host with me today, the wonderful Daisy. Daisy, introduce yourself.
I'm Daisy, I'm 20 and I'm a digital marketing student based in Leeds.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And we are really lucky to be joined today by the fantastic Sophie. Sophie, tell us who you are.
I am Sophie. I'm so excited to be here. I didn't realise you were a student. That's so cool.
Yeah, I've just come to my end of my second year and then I'm about to start my third year in September. Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Good. I'm like happy that 2 years is done. However, I'm just aware what's coming around the corner. So like dissertation, it's going to get very serious.
Oh, you will be okay. Oh my goodness. I remember when I was going into my third year, I know we'll get into it, but that was when I just started my business accidentally and I just felt like it was my whole world. And now I think I graduated 4 or 5 years ago. And it's so funny how big those moments feel at the time, but now how small. Like I couldn't tell you what my dissertation was about. Right. I cannot remember for the life of me. So I promise you'll be okay.
Yeah, we can get through it.
Good advice to get us started. You're already okay.
But my name is Sophie. I'm so excited to be here. I am so passionate about inspiring younger people, especially students, that one, it is okay. I started my career in a very squiggly way and now I'm 5 years into running my own business and I still feel like I have no idea what's going on at any given moment in the day. So really excited to explore that today.
Amazing. And what is your business for people that haven't come across you before?
Of course, I run a online marketing community called Pretty Little Marketer, which is an online resource and community for people in and on social media. I also work as a full-time content creator or influencer, if you will. So I work with brands, I speak, I consult, and I live my dream, the dream that I didn't know I had, but I'm very, very, very grateful for.
I love that. And before we go into the first question, I just have a little question on that. So the language between influencer and content creator, like I feel like there's a tension there, isn't there? So content creator is the preference, isn't it?
Absolutely. I see a lot on LinkedIn about like the definitions of the two. And I think because I work in marketing, I do B2B, my primary channel is LinkedIn. I don't fall into the influencer category, but I feel like the definition is more understood than content creator. So I kind of marry the two. I'm a content creator. I create content about marketing, but there's a level of influence and I feel like we all understand what an influencer is. So we fall into both buckets, but creator would be my preference.
Yes, I'd agree. I like it. Very nice. So Daisy, let's dive in with your first question.
So looking back at the start of your career, how did Pretty Little Marketer happen? What was the process that led you to?
So I started my career 10 whole years ago when I was 18. I'm 9 years post teenagehood, 10 years post leaving school. And I left school at 18. Of course, I left sixth form. I got 3 C's, which I was happy with. at the time. I struggle bugged through. I didn't enjoy school. I very much fall into the creative over academic, if we're going to choose one over the other, and felt like school was just not made for me. So I had a dream of heading to London College of Fashion when I was 18. I wanted to study editorial and advertising photography. Was very interested in how magazines and kind of print media worked at the time. But about 6 months prior to that start date, I was leaving year 13, which it would have been at the time. And my tutor had a one-to-one with my tutor who kind of looked after our class. And he told me that a creative career was bold. And I was, oh, why?
Cheers.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And I remember having that conversation. I'm like, oh, well, it's a bold choice that you don't know where it's going to go. Like maybe something more academic. And I was already pretty apprehensive heading to university anyway. I'm a first generation student. Neither of my parents went to university. None of my grandparents went to university. And I'm also an only child. So I've always been the first in my family to do most things. I'm also a very anxious and small person, so to have that weight is terrifying. So I was kind of scared off university at 18 and decided to pause my place. I got a job in events. I thought it was events, but I worked in a call center for 3 years running virtual events. So before Zoom existed, we did Skype and I would host calls for financial results. And what was meant to be a temporary hold while I figured things out turned into 3 years. So it got to 21. And I remember just having this moment of like, this is not where I want to be. I often reflect on this quote or this thought of create, don't wait. And it's because for 3 years I did the exact opposite. I remember thinking at some point I would have my dream job. Someone will get in touch. It'll be fine. But it didn't happen. So 21, head to university in my hometown back in Gloucester. So I studied marketing, advertising and branding at the University of Gloucestershire, hoping it would solve my problems. But alas, it did not. I got to the end of my second year and I was a COVID student. So it was 2020. I submitted my final assignment. And what I thought would be a feeling of relief, I was just overwhelmed with tears and cried on my sofa. Very much feeling what you're feeling. Yeah. You know, I've got 1 year. Cool, I don't have it figured out yet. What am I going to do? I have all of these options and there's too many.
Yeah,
I felt really lonely in that moment. And I'm on the top end of Gen Z, but I cling on to that Gen Z status with my life. So I started an Instagram page called Pretty Little Marketer in a bid to do two things. One, make something for my CV. But two, just find other people so that I didn't feel so alone. And within a week, we had 1,000 followers, 2 weeks, 2,000. 5 years later, there's 600,000 people in marketing that follow PLM across platforms. And it was monetized in the early days by freelancing. I worked as a social media manager with some of the world's biggest brands. And then in 2023 into 2024, I kind of put that down and head into my founder shoes, focusing on content creation. So it's been a whiplash journey, to say the least, but just a case of following what feels right, what works, and not planning too far ahead, which I know sounds and feels quite backwards to what we're taught in our early kind of career and study days, but yeah, gone with the flow.
Wow.
Such a journey.
Like,
I feel like I had a little hair stand on end as we're like, it was like 1,000, 2,000, and now that's we're at 600,000. I mean, that's incredible. Like the 500,000 mark must have been a wow. Okay, this is huge.
It's both amazing and overwhelming. Like every time you post something on the internet, lots of people are going to see it. So there's a lot of pressure there, but equally we have the most wonderful community ever. And like, what a privilege to have such tangible impact on real people. So I never take it for granted. It never feels real. And I often wish I could tell myself 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, like, it'll work out.
Yeah.
You just have to keep rolling. Yeah. Keep going with it.
Yeah, just keep pushing forward, because you, as long as you're taking steps that you're happy with and you're starting to find what you love, it all comes good in the end.
Totally.
Yeah. Like, it really does. I'm such a believer in that. And even the moments that are horrible, you're like, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
Really got to trust the process.
Yeah.
But it will end up good. No matter how long that takes, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, you've got to just cling on to the hope that it will turn out well.
Yeah, totally. Definitely. So you create this page, literally, that suddenly starts growing. What was your plan with the page? Just to share content? Like, were you... Because this was the early days of, like, we probably didn't have the phrase content creator at that stage. Yeah. Like, we probably had influencer as a phrase, but that felt more like the celebs at that point, I imagine, totally. As well. So it's a very different time, isn't it? Even though it's not that long ago.
Yeah, I had no plans, no strategy. I just thought, what can I do to find people like me? I was sharing my journey at the time. So it wasn't like tips and tricks. It wasn't industry reports. It's not really what you see on the PLM pages now. I was in my second year heading into third year. And alongside my degree, I was working part-time in an influencer marketing agency as a influencer marketing assistant. So we were managing campaigns. I was coordinating with influencers, creators, managing budgets. And I very much started PLM to be like, here's what I'm up to. What are you guys up to? And I remember we had a marketing or a Marketer Monday series where I'd like reach out to followers and feature them on stories. We had like a small business series where I'd reach out to the people, small business owners in the network and in our follower base and feature them. So I don't really know what my plan was. I just kind of wanted a place to feel okay and connect with people that were like me. And Instagram felt like the right place to do so. Yeah. And yeah, grew pretty quick.
And wow, has it worked? Like, that's just incredible. Did you, because I suppose there's a lot of imposter syndrome around just posting, isn't there? People are, and you do just have to get over that, don't you? And just go, I'm just going to post, and normally nothing bad happens. Yeah. And even when you get a bit of controversy, just embrace it and post again and just keep going. But do you look back at any of the early content? Is all the early content still available? No,
that is archived. It was our fifth birthday. When I say our, I am a team of one, but I always say, like, PLM is ours. It is, it's PLM for the people. So context, me, but it's us. We celebrated our fifth birthday last month, and my parents would tell you it's my only child syndrome, but I threw myself a fifth birthday party.
Oh, did you?
Oh, absolutely should. Time. I saw the posts on this. It looked incredible.
I had so much fun. And even now, like, looking back, I just had no expectations to grow a following or build a network. And I think I don't want to say got lucky, but I almost had this like naive confidence of, well, I'm not doing this to do anything. Like, kind of going to the gym for fun versus going to the gym with like a set goal or a set plan in mind. Yeah. I didn't have a training plan. I didn't have a goal. I wasn't training for something. It was just for fun. It was just to see what could happen. So I think that lack of expectation meant that imposter syndrome didn't exist just yet. There was nothing to compare it to because I didn't know what it was. So I think that naive confidence was really helpful.
Yeah, I think naivety at that point is a blessing. I often say to people that have started businesses, like, if you knew what you know now, you probably wouldn't start.
Oh, for sure.
Because it's so hard. But actually that naivety of, oh, go on then, let's give it a go. Yeah. Like, I think it's so much harder to start a business the older and older you get, because it's the same as, like, I don't know if anyone's been to a theme park in recent years, but the older I get, the scarier those rides are.
Oh,
and when I was a kid, I absolutely would throw myself on any of the rides, whereas now I'm like, no, that one's not for me. Because you see more and you see the danger more, and as you get older it gets harder and harder to take those risks. Whereas that naivety of, well, I'm just going to create a page, like, oh, this isn't even a business, of course it's not, that then becomes a business. It's just beautiful, isn't it? Because it comes from absolute authenticity as well.
Totally.
It's brilliant. What have you got, some stories over the years, I imagine, of people in the community that it just, because I bet there's so many people like you that your community has now helped that are a bit lost and not really sure what this big world of marketing and social media and everything means, and actually your community becomes the home for them. Like, are there any stories that are good to share?
I feel like there are so many. I launched a membership, a paid membership last year in March. And even that for me was like, I'm just going to try it and see what happens. And even at our fifth birthday party, I was interviewed by my business coach, Alice, kind of reflecting on the journey. And I was saying, like, I'm 5 years in, like, I've been doing this for half a decade now, but only now do I feel like I 10% have it figured out. Like, only now do I feel like I can tell you what's going to happen in a year. Only now do I have a plan. So it's really funny, you know, when you see people online starting businesses or people in their careers, or maybe they're where you want to be or you see themselves being, like, only now do they probably have like the tiniest percentage figured out. So it's strange to think and know that, like, I don't feel like I have it together or have this big plan whatsoever. But in our paid community, often get messages to say that PLM has helped them do X, Y, Z. For me, it's less kind of skill giving and educating and more the opportunities that PLM can present through the network. Something I love, we have a Slack channel with about 500 members in it, and everyone is so wonderful. They are so kind. And what always blows my mind is like the generosity of time. Like, hey guys, I think we had a message earlier this week or earlier today about like struggling trying to set up an influencer program in their company. Like, hey guys, does anyone do this in their own company? And like immediately, if not hours later, when people see it, you've got other people responding like, I really struggled with this too, like, here are a few tips. Or, hey, I've got 20 minutes next week, like, do you want to set up a Zoom call? And it fills me with comfort that for people new to the industry or thinking of joining a new industry, how many people out there are like genuinely willing to help because they have been where you are. So it really encourages me to know that hopefully newbies in marketing or any industry, there's a level of peers above and above and above them who will make the time if they are asked for it.
Yeah.
It's just being brave enough to be like, hey, Sophie, hey, Becky, follow you on LinkedIn, or like, I think your company's cool. Like, do you have an hour? Do you have 30 minutes next week?
And
you'd truly be surprised how many people will say yes. Or if it's not a yes, it might be a not yet. But if you never try, you never know.
Or sometimes, do you know what? I really haven't got time at the moment, but my colleague would be really lovely to speak to. Or they're just, people are so much more giving than I think people realize.
Definitely.
Like, so, and I feel like, because social sometimes gets a bad rep for actually all the bad things that have come from it. And there are lots of bad things, and there's lots of comparing ourselves to others and all these kind of things. But the way it's connected communities that wasn't possible pre the internet and social being what it is today has meant it's so much easier for things like that to happen. And therefore people have become more giving because they're like, do you know what? I can help you. And actually in 15 minutes that I can jump on a call, that doesn't mean I've had to like get a train somewhere or lost half a day. I can give you some advice and I can connect you to some other people. Mm-hmm. And I love how giving, and the digital community in particular, is very, very giving. You can sit next to your competitor and share stories.
Yeah.
And you will, people will, even though it's their competitor, because they're like, there's enough business for all of us. Yeah. Like, I'll help you. I'll show you what we're doing and let you look under the hood of what's happening.
I know, it's really refreshing to hear actually that loads of people are willing to give you their time, even if they're like industry professionals or someone who is trying to break into that industry, like getting some work experiences. It's so lovely that people are willing to help, because with my uni course at the moment, it's like you learn the content, but you need to apply it.
Yeah.
And if people are willing to give you the time to give you them little industry insights, you're like, great, because then you can apply it in your work, like the academically, but also if you want to try something on the side, you can also do that as well. And because you've got the good advice to go alongside. It's really nice to hear.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's good. It's amazing to have created a community where that's just naturally happening. And yeah, fantastic. That must just fill you with so much pride for what you've done and what you've created.
Yeah. I struggle to take credit for it often because like it truly is a network, and I couldn't do what I do without the people that contribute, whether that is paying members who take their own time to help other people in our community, or people in comment sections replying to other people. And I often reflect on PLM, my business, or myself as a facilitator. Like, my job is just to bring people together. I don't do much past that, so
very humble, but
it's very fulfilling.
But it wouldn't be possible without what you've done, and actually creating a community and creating the right guidelines in a community without it feeling like there's lots of rules and laws here, but you've got to create the right values and make sure people are sharing in the right way, because otherwise actually if you get some of the wrong people into a community that's like just turn up to sell, and every other post is buy my stuff, that's not a nice community to be in. So yeah, you must take credit for what you have done. But you're right, you then need the people. But that's all, it all worked hand in hand. So of your time at the moment, how much of your time is spent managing the community versus the content creator side and things you do with brand partnerships? And
I try really hard to have a good balance of time and not be that, you know, how so many entrepreneurs like, I work 7 days a week, I don't have time off. And I think in the early days when PLM, so started as a student, I was graduating in 2021. And at the time of graduating, I was working in an influencer marketing agency. I was running PLM, I was studying for my degree. I was freelancing full time for an employer branding agency. And I also had freelance clients. So I think I was jamming like 100-hour days into 24-hour days somehow.
Wow.
It was very much like that for the first 2 to 3 years of building PLM. Not because of the pressures of being an entrepreneur or growing a business, but because I was so lucky to just have so many opportunities that I didn't want to say no to. And I think that when you're in those early days of building a business, I just didn't want to miss out. Not that anyone was telling me that I would have, and I think PLM and I would have been just fine if I hadn't have poured everything into it in those very early days, but I was just like an excited puppy. Like I was sniffing everything, figuring out, and almost like figuring out what this could be.
Yeah.
My best friend works at University of Bristol in a content marketing role. And before that, she worked in a government role. I can't remember what she did or where. It's all very complex working in like the civil service, isn't it?
So, yeah.
And even in like the first few years of her career, seeing her like network and put hours in outside of work as well. I hate that cliche of like early days having to work hard, but I think it is really important to lay those foundations in a way that you can. If that's not freelancing in 7 different roles, running a business, studying, that's okay. You don't have to do that. But maybe it's sending a few messages on LinkedIn. Maybe it's looking for networking events in your local community or tripping to London with a friend to attend a bigger industry event. I think it is so important to put yourself out there. So I'm somewhat grateful looking back now that I did lay the groundwork then, so I have to do less now.
Yeah.
It is equally, however, still very chaotic.
Yeah.
I do work Monday to Friday, so I don't work weekends or evenings. So I do have boundaries in place that mean that as a human, I can still exist outside of my business and my career. Our community takes up probably 3 days of my week in terms of management planning for the future. We do a lot of collaborative things. So we have people join our Slack. We have webinars. So I coordinate a lot of them. And then I'll spend 2 days-ish, maybe more a week planning our both evergreen and sponsored content with brands. Both are two different kind of engines on their own, especially the brand piece. There's a lot of deadlines, there's a lot of briefs, there's a lot of juggling. When you work with agencies as well, you'll likely have an agency contact, a brand contact, a legal contact, so it can get confusing. Likewise, you're running a business, so you need to keep an eye on revenue, profits, forecasts, but I'm making my first hire later this year. I'm hiring an operations manager.
Wow.
So I get to do the creative fun bits, and someone who's good at managing a business can manage a business. But it's taken 5 years to get here and be ready to hand over a part of your business, but also figure out who do you need, what do you need. So it takes time, but I'm very grateful that, again, those early days, God, poor Sophie was knackered. Previous Sophie, she was tired, but I'm glad she was, because I can do less now.
And so hiring someone, how do you feel about that?
I'm excited. Again, I have only child syndrome, as my parents would tell you. The things that are mine, even to the point at home, you know, if my boyfriend's made a mess in the bedroom, oh, this is my bedroom. Why have you made this messy? Or, you know, something, a lip gloss has moved, that is my lip gloss. But I'm really excited. I feel like my business is at a place now where I'm at my ceiling. I can only do so much. And the amazing woman I've hired has about 10 years in the industry on me. So I'm very much hoping that she can kind of bring me up to where she is.
Yeah.
I don't need to train someone or worry that they're in their early days and looking for something. Like, this is a sidestep.
Yeah.
I was looking for someone who had their own thing. They'd been doing what they were doing for a while. So she'll be joining me a few days a week. So it's like a baby step into hiring rather than like a full-time permanent employee that you need to pay. So you need to run a business that makes money. You need to be a good boss.
Yeah.
And then you also need to manage that yourself. So I'm baby stepping into it, but I'm really excited.
That's a really cool step to be taking though, because you just think how much headspace, like even for them to just take a day's worth of stuff away from you would be incredible. So, and actually, if the person's got the experience, they're going to bring things that you haven't even thought of. Like,
exactly.
I know how you feel having run my own business for the last 15 years, and there's little bits and it keeps happening. You'll hire a different person for a different thing and you're like, oh, they're going to take that. I've got to be okay with it because I can't do all of it. But then there's these moments where they go on to do the thing brilliantly, better than you could have even done it. And you're like, word, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. And you watch them grow and you're like, we're doing so many more things than I could have ever done on my own. So it's, you're making an amazing step, but yeah, it'll be tough. But my little bit of advice for you would be just to make sure you've got really open communication with that person and make sure they know, and maybe they'll listen to this podcast, that they know that you feel a bit apprehensive about certain things, because then it's much easier because you can talk really openly together about it and work out, how do we find the best way through this? Because there'll be things you love doing that you don't want to give up, and vice versa. There'll be things that you're like, I can't wait to give this up, but actually you might still need eyes on it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Just a quick note from me. We'd love you to hit the subscribe button. This helps us more than you might realize when it comes to growing this podcast, ensuring we can bring you the best guests possible. Thank you. Back to the episode.
So I just got a quick question. So you say you started at the end of your second year into your third year. So how did you find that from graduating uni? And then did you launch into Pretty Little Marketer full time? Or how was that process? How was that jump?
Good question. It was a whirlwind. So PLM kind of took off as soon as she was born and existed. I think that timing was really on my side. That was June 2020. I think we were Eat Out to Help outing then, which was a wild time. Love to the prices, not so much the economic situation. And then I think September time-ish, I think we were back in like other lockdowns. 2020 was a bit of a blur for everybody. But people were stuck at home. We were all worried about our careers, and especially students, first year, second year, third year, fourth year, PhDs, whatnot. You don't know what's going to happen. Universities at the time didn't know what was going to happen either. I remember in April, when we were heading into our first UK lockdown, my uni is like, we're just going to be closed for 2 weeks. I'm like, oh, cool, I can do 2 weeks at home. And then 6 months later, I'm like glued to my laptop screen. I'd never used Zoom before. Everything's a new experience. So PLM from day one, there were people there and they were ready. I first monetized around December time. So PLM was 7 months old. And I remember I'd been hosting webinars to talk about like getting into marketing, how I got my first role, and primarily would talk a lot about LinkedIn. I was on LinkedIn at the time. That was like the first time I'd started posting, and that was going really well. And I charged £2.50. for my first webinar. And I remember in the notes, I used like Eventbrite or some ticketing tool. I remember the notes being like, I'm so sorry that I'm charging you for this webinar. I'm so sorry, everyone. And it was so interesting how everyone was like, why are you apologizing? Like, I would pay 10 times for this. And like the support there for, like, people wanted more from our community, which was really lovely. So fast monetized in around December time, £2.50, if we can call that monetization.
Yeah.
And I got my first freelance role in that January. So I was approached by an agency to run their social media because they had seen PLM and kind of wanted to replicate those results there. And then by May time, I was freelancing full time at an employer branding agency. That opportunity came to me through LinkedIn. I was the only person really my age in my space visible and posting. I don't want to credit it down to luck, but got lucky in that time that LinkedIn was super boring and no one was really on there. And I was there with like my pink branding and emojis and talking about how I loved celebrities and the Kardashians and all of these fun brands. And I think that really gave me an opportunity to shine in a way that other people want on the platform. So started attracting those opportunities early. I worked as a freelance social media manager for 2 years until 2023. So between uni and freelancing, there wasn't really a gap. It just naturally happened. And I think being visible and really, I hate the cheesy advice of like, be yourself, be authentic. But like everything you see and hear here was exactly what you were getting on LinkedIn. Just a messy 23-year-old who loved pink, loved emojis, loved trinkets. Didn't know what she was doing, talking about marketing and sharing literally every thought that came in to my head. So that visibility was really, really helpful. It meant there was no gap. I wasn't sitting waiting. I was creating instead. So LinkedIn was a really great tool for that.
Would you say that LinkedIn is still as powerful as it was like 5 years ago? Because at uni, I get advice to utilize your LinkedIn, but I'm just wondering your perspective, like, is it still as powerful as it once was?
Great question. I would say even more so. Yeah. I think there's not just personal branding opportunities now, but brilliant creative branding opportunities as well. So not only can you build a brand where people know you and trust you, and you can be approached for job opportunities, or even if you're hiring out, no, if you're applying outbound, so you're not being approached or applying, most job boxes have like your LinkedIn URL. So you're not relying on your CV to create your first impression, like a bland one, because it's just a black and white, boring piece of paper. You can add personality, you can share your story, your experiences. So you've got those personal brand opportunities, but I think there's also ways to monetize as a creator as well. In a non-traditional influencer sense, I don't want to post what I'm wearing or share my makeup routine or share my life on Instagram or TikTok. One, really not that interesting, but two, like, that's just not for me. But I love marketing. I love social media. It brings me so much. I'm such a nerd. I love reading the reports. I just think it's so cool. And the things that it can do and the cultural impact that it can have. And I can get paid to do a post by a scheduling tool that I use, or I can get paid by a brand that I love to share a report that I'm already reading organically because they have seen me on the platform. I'm connected with their marketing team, their influencer marketing team. And I think that LinkedIn is the next creator platform for both emerging B2B creators and influencers as well. I don't know if you follow Sofa Dofa. She is a Australian creator. She's an influencer. She has a fashion brand. So she kind of launched, she went viral. She's a like lifestyle creator. She's beautiful, really cool. She launched a clothing brand. She's massive on Instagram and TikTok, but she's now posting about her business on LinkedIn as well, where she's starting from zero. But there's huge opportunities for brands to either work with her in a sponsored way, or even for her to promote her business. So I think that LinkedIn's in this really interesting phase now where more people are interested, more people are posting. So less visibility opportunities in terms of saturation. But I think if you do it right, we're not just posting, but we're commenting. We're getting involved in other people's spaces and circles as well. I think there's a real opportunity for you to be a creator as well as a facilitator, community member. So I love how, like, my feed is full of memes. It is so much fun. It is just the girls. So I think LinkedIn really is what you make of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
My best advice would be to just show up as you. Like, if you've seen any of my content, it is full of emojis. Sometimes we're swearing in our content. I talk about the medical condition that I was diagnosed with last summer. I literally, there's nothing that I will not share on LinkedIn. And I really hope that more people will just treat it like a little diary. So yeah, I think there's huge opportunity.
Yeah,
there's more opportunity.
Because I was looking through your LinkedIn earlier, and it was so, it was like, I'd generally just sit and watch it, like, and look through it just because it was so, like, interactive. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think you posted last week or a couple of weeks ago, I'd love to announce I've made it to Friday, which is how everyone's feeling. Mm-hmm. But lots of, like, corporate brands, they wouldn't sort of go to that sort of, like, informal sort of chat. But it's so nice. And I was looking at, like, the response, and it was great.
Yeah.
And so it's just the little things mm-hmm. that not many people think of, but it's really interactive.
Yeah, people just want to see people like them. And I think more so than creating content about uni or your job or what you're up to, which I think is an important pillar and an important part of your LinkedIn kind of posting experience. I made a video the other day talking about how I think if we want to succeed on LinkedIn, it's less about talking and more about creating a place where people want to talk back. So how can you be the person to be like, I hated this campaign, what do you guys think? Or what are you thinking right now? Or even like, oh my goodness, I graduate in a year, like what would your best piece of advice be? And really making a platform and building a space that's somewhere other people want to be, rather than just kind of a, I think what a lot of people get wrong on LinkedIn and the reason we don't enjoy it is because we're kind of putting ourselves up here, we're on a stage broadcasting out. But if we can be in the audience with them, like how much more fun of an experience is that? So like, just be you, like have fun, who cares what other people think or say? I saw a TikTok talking about how cringe is the cost of entry, or like embarrassment is the cost of entry. So yeah, I know LinkedIn, for you guys listening, isn't the most interesting place in the world, but it really can be.
Yeah. And I think you said a few minutes ago that you were kind of lucky with what you were doing with LinkedIn, but actually to turn up on LinkedIn in a place that wasn't pink and putting their heart out there and saying what they wanted to say was a really brave, bold, back to your teacher, bold move to be open to do that. And actually you've paved the way for so many more people to do that, and you've proved that that is what the platform can be about as well. So again, I think, yeah, being confident in actually that was a really bold move to make, and an incredible one that served you really, really well in what you're doing. So yeah, have you spoken to that teacher that kind of tried to put you off?
Oh my goodness, no. I'm not sure he even remembers that I exist. This would have been 10, probably like 10 and a half years ago. And the secondary school that I went to for my sixth form was very, like, if you're not going to Oxford or you're not going to a Russell group, like, you don't matter here. And I remember rocking up on like whenever you're sending off your UCAS forms being like, hello, I'm here to study photography. And this guy's face just dropped. And my parents are the most loved. There is nothing my parents wouldn't do. I was in New York recently with Adobe. And my dad surprised me in New York with me at the same time, because I was scared to be there on my own with a new medical condition, but also like hours and hours away from home. And like, for context, my dad works at Sainsbury's. Like, it's not just like there's money in the bank for him to trip to New York. Like, this was a big decision. So there is nothing that my parents wouldn't do for me. And my whole life, they have made me feel like there's nothing that I cannot do, no matter how big or how hard. So for me, that was like this fast moment of someone being like, oh, like that big dream, like that's actually not a good idea. Like that actually, like my parents kept it real. Like I didn't live in a bubble.
No.
But that was like the first time someone with authority was like, you can't do the thing you want to do because like it's just not good enough. And I like, heartbroken would be the word that I would use to describe it. I was so creative as a teen. I loved photography. Like I loved film and TV. So for someone you trust to be like, that's not gonna fly. I don't know what he's up to now. Is he still teaching? Who knows? One would hope not. But yeah, like, broke my heart.
Yeah,
truly.
It's scary though. I reckon most people have got a story absolutely like that, where there's a teacher that just said one thing that the teacher probably does not even remember saying. And this could go both ways, actually. There'll be that one thing that a teacher says that absolutely inspires you. Definitely. And gives you the fuel and feeds the fire, and you're like, yes, this is what I'm going to do. But then there's that other thing that someone says that literally stops you in your tracks. Yeah. And it's so tricky because they probably haven't even thought twice about what they've said. And yet actually it can be a real turning point or a dead end for you on something. So I'm so glad you still made it back into marketing and creative.
Got there eventually.
Because that would have been awful for you to have not done that when it was so right to be your passion.
Yeah.
Like it just, Do you, so we were saying obviously your content is beautiful. Has it always been beautiful?
Absolutely not. I have archived like all of the posts from we last rebranded in, like, so everything you see now, I think the end of 2023. So like there's 3 years of posts that are just like, whoop, they've disappeared. They weren't good anyway. No one needs to see them. So to me, No, but like you're always your own worst critic, right? Yeah. I'm sure if someone else looked at my feed from 2020, like I wasn't a graphic design pro, but like it gave value. It taught you something new. So it really depends what you're prioritizing. For me, I love an aesthetic grid. Like how my content looks really matters. But what has mattered and will always matter is the tangible impact. Yeah. I want everyone to interact with PLM, my business, or me, and leave feeling lighter, happier, more confident, whatever it might be. Leave with something more than they did coming into it. So in that sense, yes, it's always been great. In terms of visuals, absolutely not.
I'm just wondering, so when you're creating this content, what platforms would you use? Like, what would you recommend to create this like aesthetic content?
Of course. So I use Adobe Express for most of my content. You can also use tools like Canva. I'm sure there are many, many more. There's like PixArt. For me, Adobe Express have really fun and innovative AI like aspects and tools. So if you're playing around with like photography or even text effects, and like the more professional Adobe suite and software isn't for you yet, one, it can be quite pricey, but two, like technically it's really difficult. I know there's like jokes about graphic design being like the colouring in department, but like, boy, trying to make something look good.
Yeah.
That is a hard job, and hats off to you, graphic designer. So Adobe Express would be my preference. They also have a really brilliant free offering. So most of their kind of background removers, AI tools are free, whereas other platforms are paid. So Adobe Express is one for me. In terms of branding, I would head to somewhere like Pinterest. What colors do you like? What feels good? What fonts look good to you? Start with templates. Creative Market is a really good place. They are paid templates, but they're about $30 because it's an American site for like a whole pack of templates. So
amazing.
If design isn't your thing and you've got $30 or whatever the kind of currency exchange equivalent is, that might be a good one. But it doesn't need to look good.
No.
The value is what matters most, and creating something that represents you. So for me, like, I am so girly. I love my jelly cats. I love my trinkets. I love jewelry. So like pink and emojis and like a really curly font really represents me. But if like clean girl is your vibe and you love like a really classy look, maybe it's a more sans serif font with a cream background and less images. So I would worry less about how it looks and what people would think, and more about what tool's going to get you there. But also, like, does this look like you?
Yeah.
I've met people in the past who tell me that I look like my grid. Like, I look like PLM. Not that PLM has a face or a feel or a look, but, like, just the vibe. So what represents you? And, like, what do you feel? What are you excited to share? I think that's what matters most.
Lovely. Thank you for that. I'll definitely take that on with me as I hopefully break into the industry.
I'll see you in there.
Yeah.
See you in a bit.
Well, you know a community to join. I've heard there's a pretty good one.
I hope so.
I love it.
Aspiration Digital is the one-day careers conference to help young people get started in the digital industry. We are just planning our next events and we are planning to move around the UK. So this is your opportunity. If you follow the link in the show notes, you can suggest that we come to your local area and get your school listed on the wait list. Follow the link now and pop your details in. We hope to see you at a future event.
How do you get over the fear of posting? Like, and do you still feel the fear sometimes when you're about to post something?
I think as our audience has grown, my confidence has shrank. It's really strange. You'd think like you've got an audience ready, like they're going to like, they're going to comment. But I am so aware that I am tailoring one thought to hundreds of thousands of people, or with different backgrounds, thoughts, beliefs, everything. So I find it harder now than I used to. Alas, for me, it's very much about having like a checklist in my brain. Like, does this speak to these people? Is this friendly? Is this encouraging? Is it actionable? So rather than having like this list that could go on forever, like, is it perfect? Is it this? Is it this? My content just needs to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Otherwise, you're like iterating and editing, and I'll rewrite and rewrite and rewrite, and you'll never post anything. But it always goes back to that quote of like, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And I just have to ground myself so often, like, what actually matters and what doesn't. Like, so what if John 40 Edinburgh thinks that my pink emoji filled LinkedIn post is cringe, or he doesn't like it, or so what if Sarah over in this area, you know, leaves a crappy comment and doesn't agree. Like, my world and life and your world is so much bigger than one person who isn't on that level. So as the audience has grown, I have found it more challenging, but just grounding myself and like what matters. And I like met with a friend this morning who runs a page called Because of Marketing, which is an amazing publication, and we went to New York together earlier this year with a brand trip. We're going to LA later this year. We were invited to Dallas with one of our favorite brands. I get to sit and be on your podcast and talk about my journey, all because I decided to post the ugliest Canva template one has ever seen just over 5 years ago. So I would hate to have denied myself my genuine dream career. Like, I literally live my dream life. I can't ever imagine doing anything else. Imagine denying myself that because I was worried that one person wouldn't get it. Yeah. And when I was at uni, I was in a big group chat and someone screenshotted one of my posts and put it in the big group chat. And I think it was meant to go in the subgroup chat where some people aren't included. Oh. And it was a screenshot of my post with this question, like, who is she? Who does she think she is? And I remember just brushing it off, being like, do you know what? I think this could be something cool. Yeah. So like, what you feel, I've lived, but it doesn't matter. The world is so much bigger.
And you definitely have shown that person who she is, because I'm sure you're doing more than that person is right now. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah. But yeah, I think that's really good advice though. You just, you can't read every comment and read more into it. It's because some people are out there that would be more likely to say something bad than they would something good.
Absolutely.
Like, they get more of a kick out of saying something bad than saying something good. So therefore, if we over-index in that way, we're going to get more bad comments sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's like, and actually, if you look at your content, you hardly get any bad comments. So the fact that that's the truth as well, it's like, yeah, don't worry about John in Edinburgh or whoever. Yeah. Do you find, is your community more weighted towards females because it's, do you have many men in the community? Or,
you know what, when I hosted our birthday party, there was about 100 attendees and there were 4 men, and I always think it's so cute, like the boys in the back, like they'll always band together. And there's this one guy who I've met at a few of my events, and we were like having a joke and I was like, are you single? And he was like, yes I am. I was like, there are 97 women in this room.
Yeah.
So could start a little PLM matchmaking, but BLM is for everybody, absolutely everybody. But I think because of the nature of it being a reflection of me, again, girly jelly cats, I have little boo-boos on my bag, I scream at sparkly things, I cry at Disney movies, so that just naturally interjects into what BLM is, and that attracts a very similar audience. I do really try, when we're being collaborative webinar series, to get a really even gender split. I want who you see on the screen to reflect who is in the community. But I think as it's a byproduct of me, who I am a Disney princess, PLM also attracts Disney princesses. So we are for everybody, but I think just naturally, branding wise, that's how marketing works.
Yeah, it does. And knowing your audience is really important, and making them feel comfortable to be at home in your community is really important. So, I feel like we could talk about this forever.
I know. I feel like I'm just like brainstorming questions in my head, but I'm just aware of the timing. But I've just got a quick one, if I could ask. There's so many trends that happen. I mean, there's numerous a day that just pop up on TikTok and they go viral overnight. And looking at your platform, like, you're very current, up to date with all the trends. I just wonder, how do you manage to, so obviously you pick the ones that sort of align well with your brand, but how do you manage to think of the content overnight almost of this trending, of this trending content? How can you quickly action that?
I will show you my screen time when we're done. And there's the secret, it's about 10 hours. One, like, it's my whole job to scout the internet and report on trends, so I'm really lucky that I have more time than most. As you said, it's very much about what matters to my brand and my audience. So for me, I'm looking at like internet trends, shifts in consumer behavior, and that's what I will speak about. All of my content is about 2 weeks from real time. So on Monday, I wrote my content for next week and the week after. So you've got an organization system that allows you to plan in advance. You're not waking up like, oh, what am I going to post today? But you've got like a 2-week window, in that if I spoke about it in 2 weeks, it's still relevant. I almost like being a little bit late. I don't know if you have seen Astronomer hired yes. Gwyneth Paltrow to do a bit yes. of like damage oh control. Yeah, they did like a PR that, yeah. video that came out, I think, last week from time of recording and speaking. My LinkedIn feed, my Instagram feed, my TikToks, I follow a lot of marketers, has been flooded with that for the past week and a half. In 2 weeks, no one's going to be talking about it. So how can you reflect on what everyone said and bring something different or amplify a main thought? So I almost wonder, like, how can we track what's happening now to speak about after? I think that has so much more impact, is what I do quite frequently on the PLM, like business pages as well. There are some really amazing tools for keeping up with trends, whether that be kind of like social media trends by way of audios and like trends to jump on, or user behavior trends. One, I do have a free weekly newsletter that I think you would love.
Yeah, definitely.
It's on my website. there are also ones like In Case You Missed It by a woman called Leah Haberman, who's amazing. She rounds up all of the latest trends and news. If you don't use Substack, it's like a newsletter long form app, or you can get them sent to your inbox as well. Something great about Substack is if you follow, for me, I follow a lot of like marketing people who will report on like really cool trends. Once you follow one, it will recommend more like that person, unlike typical newsletters. So Substack will be a really good one. On Instagram and TikTok, so Instagram, if you have a business or creator account, if you go on your profile, professional dashboard, scroll down, it will give you trending audios. And you can, it will like list everything that's trending. Likewise on TikTok, if you go to search and type in TikTok creator insights, it does a few things. One, it gives you all the stats on what is trending, but there's also one tab that's called content gap. So it shows you what everyone's posting in your space, and what people are searching and the searches that are missing. So I don't know, how to style blue jeans with a pink shirt, but everyone's talking about how to style it with a blue shirt. So it literally recommends what people are looking for. But the best way to know what people are talking about is just be in this space. So whether that's LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, or Reddit is a newfound favorite of mine. So Facebook groups, be in this space that you want to be known in. What are people up to? But yeah, hopefully some tools and resources there. I think Substack will probably be the best one, and invest time in reading about what interests you. You know, if there are trends that you don't care about, that's cool. You don't need to know or follow all of them. So there's a lot out there.
I mean, thank you for that. I feel
that's
like that's
incredible.
There's so many recommendations. I feel like I should be writing them down.
Yeah, it's all right. I'll send you a list.
I'm just going to rewatch it, so it's fine.
We've got it recorded. That's so good. So many good tips. So I feel like we are coming to the end. Is there anything you haven't told us that you're like, oh my word, they haven't asked me this, and this is like the key thing that I want to get out there?
I think like reflecting on my journey, like visibility has just brought me the best opportunities. I couldn't be where I am. I remember my mum growing up would always tell me, like, it's not what you know, it's who you know. But I actually don't think it's who you know. I think it's who knows you. So just being online and visible, having your name in rooms that you don't know exist yet, I think feels like it's reserved for people that run businesses or creators or people with loads of followers. But my first freelance opportunity came because someone in a team was off on maternity leave. They needed someone to step in as a freelance social media marketer. And one of the marketing girlies, one of the interns, followed me on a platform and recommended me. I didn't know who she was. I didn't know who the company was. I really wasn't doing anything that honestly anyone else couldn't do. So reflecting on my journey, I think just being visible, like the opportunities that I get to fly all over the world, and I don't deserve it whatsoever. I really don't do much that anyone can't do. I'm just visible. People know who I am. So I wish I did it sooner. I wish I did it when I was 18, but you know, we'll take 23. We're only 5 years late. So the sooner you can build your brand, I think the better. And there are so many ways to do that. The internet is a scary but amazing place.
Yeah, true. And you absolutely do deserve it. Yeah. Like, you really do. And I think it's interesting. We've had different conversations with different people, some that have gone and done something immediately and some that have worked first. And I'm always a champion for going having a job first and being an employee and maybe doing something you don't really love, because unless you've felt that, it's really hard when you then start to create a workplace where you're hiring people to get that right, because you don't know what it feels like to be the employee. So you kind of have got to be the employee. You've got to work for other people to really understand those dynamics, to be able to then be the champion for your team and make sure you're creating an amazing place to work, because you want the best people around you. And you're only going to get that if you create the best place to work. It doesn't matter how many followers you've got. If you can't create a nice place to work, people won't hang around. Totally. So yeah, I'm excited for you and your first employee and the journey you're going to go on. I think, getting that headspace to be able to focus on the content creation side of things, knowing that the operations are handled, because that's another whole, and we haven't got time to go into it, but learning those business skills, which you have learned over the last few years.
Goodness,
it's a minefield, isn't it?
Don't expect it. I 5 years in, I feel like I only just really know what I'm doing. So you have more time than you think. Why are we always in such a rush to get where we want to be? Like, there's so much fun in getting there. So yeah, I'm glad it's taken me this long, and finally at a point in my business where I don't know what comes next, but I'm excited to figure out rather than just have it.
Yeah.
I think we live in a society of like instant gratification, instant viral, instant results, but why can't we just enjoy, to chill out, guys? It's
cool. I love it.
Yeah.
What a message to finish on. We just need to chill out and enjoy the journey.
It's true.
So you've been amazing. Thank you so much, Sophie. And so many great tips. We will link some of those. We'll also make sure, where do people find you? Obviously LinkedIn. Is that your preference for where people find you?
Yeah. Sophie Miller on LinkedIn. There are many Sophie Millers out there. We all share a name. So I'm the one in a green suit. I had my 5th birthday photos taken, so that was a fun time. Or on Instagram/also LinkedIn at Pretty Little Marketer.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And Daisy, you've been fabulous.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It's been lovely chatting to you.
So good.
Perfect. We will see you on a future episode of Behind the Future.
That concludes another brilliant episode of Behind the Future. Thank you so much for listening. You can listen back to other episodes on YouTube or your podcast platform of choice. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, as that will help us to grow this podcast, ensuring we can get the best guests on here for you to learn from. You can also follow us on socials, linked in the show notes for exclusive content. See you on the next episode.